Hello and welcome to G.L. Horton's Stage Page. Today is Tuesday, September 4th, 2007. This past week, Gerilyn brought our iBook and our traveling microphone off to a Playwrights Platform preseason board meeting. After the meeting, the board members discussed where the organization had been, where it seems to be going, and how it seems to be getting there. They spoke for nearly 17 minutes, and I was only able to edit out about 2 of those minutes, and they were having a good time while talking. Gerilyn has been an active member of the group for many years as a playwright, actor, director, and often as a board member. Many of her plays have had their first outings at platform affairs, festivals, readings, and the like.
I'm here with the Executive Committee of Playwrights Platform, the Boston Developmental Group for Playwrights that's been in existence for 35 years, and I'd like to introduce you to some of the members. This is Chris King.
Hi.
You want to tell a little bit about your experience at Playwright Platform and what you're doing for it this coming year?
Well, I was introduced to Playwrights Platform by my neighbor. We just happened to be down the road from each other, and now we have a sort of a mini playwriting workshop in our neighborhood, and was enchanted. Yeah, I guess that's a good enough word to discover that there was this enthusiastic group of playwrights that all like to make new dramas of all shapes and sizes. And formerly we met in Waltham. I guess it met in Waltham, Gerilyn, for most of its life?
Oh, no, that was like the sixth or seventh site. It's been through Pine Manor and the Church of All Nations and the Arlington Street Church, and we, for many years, we were first at UMass Boston and then at Mass College of Art.
Wow. I really feel like a Johnny come lately. But still, it's been an invigorating experience to be involved with all these folks. And I have to admit that the vast majority of the stuff I've seen and experienced and been part of, because we all tend to act too a little bit, has been really kind of fascinating. Good.
Chris's first play that he had read, this is Kelly Dumar talking.
Our president.
After I dragged him there for our first meeting and was so delighted to have someone to ride over to Waltham with, I don't usually cry at readings, but I cried when Chris's play was read that night. It just touched me so deeply. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that he's coming to this group because he's such a great writer and this play is moving me so deeply.
It was better than Cats.
I don't know.
That's
it was shorter than Cats, too.
That's Gail Fanap, who is the vice president. And just this past year, I had the privilege of going to see her new musical, Monsters, at Emerson.
Did you see it at the Playwrights Theater too? I mean, you didn't see it in Boston though.
No.
The full production. Oh, you missed the full production.
I was out of town, or I would have auditioned for it.
Now, did Monsters have any life at Playwrights Platform, or did? Because we have a sister group called NOMTI, the New Opera and Musical Theater Initiative, and
Monsters actually never got a reading at Playwrights Platform, but I must say I used all of the lessons I have learned at Playwrights Platform about rewriting and rewriting and rewriting and about action and about story and character that I see at Playwrights Platform all the time, and it was a huge help. I mean, I don't think I had such support there for all of my other work, but Monsters was really, really driven by a lot of the people that I met at Playwrights Platform, which I was really grateful for.
And one of the wonderful things about, I think, actually both Gail and Chris is they're really both actors, too. And Gail, you are a phenomenal performer. And
thank you.
So you're kind of in a dual role at the platform because you're one of our best actors.
Thank you. And my first play was one of Kelly's plays.
Yes.
When was it? What year was that?
I think it was 2003.
It was called Practicing Peace, and that was my first entrance into the platform was as an actor, and it was very fun.
I entered as an actor, too, 35 years ago.
Well, there is this interesting mix. Which really kind of invigorates the process of having your play read and worked with, because you often have people who haven't been in the playwriting business for a long time, and they're really kind of getting into it and getting enthusiastic about it, but there are also people who've really been in the business for a long time. So it's not just sort of a bunch of wannabes all hanging around going, gee, I'd love to be writing stuff. It's people who've really written a lot of work or performed a lot of work or directed things?
Oh, it's an amazing group. The really unique thing that it has at its core is a group of people who can bring so many different points of view and insights into the feedback process. And this is a huge help to anyone who is working on a piece of writing, because invariably there is someone in that audience who will say, you know, in France in 1947, you know, in the Philharmonic Orchestra, they didn't actually have oboes or something. And you know, I always sit there and go, how do they know that?
And why didn't I?
And why didn't I know that when I was writing that section of the, you know, and it's really, we get amazing feedback.
And the other thing is that, you know, as playwrights, we have to have our work read aloud to have any idea of whether or not what we're doing is working at all. And I think that J.R. Lynn and Phyllis, who are also sitting here, you know, also who are actors in our organization as well as playwrights. And my daughter Francie,
yes,
10 years
been
old,
several things
right here in front of us. She's actually one of our newest members of the Actors in Residence group. So she's, we've got a 10-year-old.
Say
we've
something,
got,
Francie.
Say hi.
Say hi, Francie.
She's shaking her head. No, she doesn't know how to talk. But Phyllis, you can talk, can't you? You joined first as an actor, and now I've seen some wonderful plays.
Actually, in the late 90s, when Patrick Brennan was doing his first-person shooter play at the Tower Auditorium, Mass College of Art, and it was a musical, and half of the audience walked out. They were very, very disturbed, and little did he know that that play would win one of the best plays of 2000. And it was the first reading that I had done with Playwrights Platform, and I continued to read occasionally and do my own acting, and then I decided I wanted to write my own plays, having done a number of short contemporary
plays. And have people
plays.
Walk out on you.
And that was Patrick.
Well, we didn't
that
know
was Patrick
was
speaking from California.
But because it was a controversial play, that's what gave it the oomph as well, and that's why people supported it so much, and it got its deserving praise through that. What was it, Patrick? What was the name of the...
It was StagePlays.com, which is a popular internet theatrical bookstore.
And it's still done
ran
readings.
Their, what they intended to have as an annual contest for best plays, and the winners in the full-length and one-act category were published in a volume that they put on their, that they put up for sale. And they actually, they ran it for one additional year, and they're still around, but their contest is not. So First Person Shooter got its first publication through a UK website, stageplays.com, and it's had a few productions here and there, and I, without the contribution from the platform that reading provided, it never would have been as good a play as it ended up being. Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the recent innovations in this long-standing process has been the Actors in Residence program, which you're now coordinating, right, Phyllis? You want to tell us a little bit about that?
The Actors in Residence program is a fairly new program that started last August, where we have a variety of actors of all ages, from 10 to 70s, I'd say, men and women, who are available to the playwrights for the bi-monthly readings that we have on Sunday night. And it's been a very good program right now. In fact, we've been using some of these actors, or quite a lot of these actors, later in our festival that we hold in June. So it's a great experience for the playwrights because they have a variety of different ways to see their work done and performed in a more professional type of manner. And it's also very good for the actors. They get the exposure that they need
and are also picked up by the experience of cold readings. You know,
sure.
That's an audition.
And they're seen by producers and directors in other places as well. So it's great exposure for them. So it works.
We have some so just funny, playful, adventuresome, courageous, creative actors. I mean, I think that this to me is amazing as a group, the courage it takes to first have a play, something you've written, read,
out loud,
and then, oh my gosh, getting used to coming up to that feedback chair. Okay, everybody, they just heard your play read, they saw your play read by these wonderful actors, and now you're coming up to that feedback chair, and what are people gonna say? And are they going to like it? You know, I think that we've become a really wonderful organization in terms of really supporting each other.
But we're very tough.
In that process.
We're also very tough. And
well,
that
we're
makes
kind
us,
tough.
We're kind tough, but it makes
I
us
think
stand
we're
out. We're very honest, and
yeah,
I think what we
love.
Do is give the best constructive, helpful feedback of any group I've ever seen. And I've taken a lot of seminars and courses, and I feel like the feedback you get at the platform is just something you can go away with, go back to your typewriter, go back to your computer, and really rework your script in a productive way.
I'm sort of amazed by that because yeah, I've been in several different writing groups, and there's always a certain amount of mumfering and, you know, people blabbing on and on, and we often get very concise, to the point, often quite personal things, which can be as useful as anything that's technical or
absolutely,
or professional, just somebody's gut feeling about something. And sometimes people kind of go off and they tell how they would have done the play. But that, it's almost like reading the I Ching. That tells you where you want to go if somebody says, well, I would have gone off this way. So it's also, the other thing that I like about the actors is that there's something that makes you feel like a real human being and a playwright when you see somebody else who's good
mm-hmm.
putting
right.
in your play.
Gives you a lot of inspiration and a lot of support.
Yeah.
And obviously, the news has spread because Playwrights Platform Summer Festival is the best attended festival in Boston as far as any kind of short play festival, which is pretty amazing because it is, well, we were pretty much sold out this year.
Yeah, we
for
were.
The entire festival. And people try to call us up and ask us what our secret is, but Chris will never tell.
Well, and the wonderful thing is that, you know, I think that one of the reasons it works is because so many of these scripts have really grown up in the process of the previous year. I mean, they have been read and usually reread, often reread at least once, and they've really been polished. And then we have this wonderful opportunity as playwrights to actually take our play through a production process. And the learning in terms of that is absolutely incredible and valuable. Because you really, if you're just a playwright and you really haven't, you know, you haven't been involved in other aspects of theater as an actor or a director, I mean, it's an amazing learning experience to see how, what it really takes to collaborate to put a play on the stage. You learn the art and the business of production, and that really impacts you a lot about as a playwright. You really figure out
what works,
how the heck to write a play that someone can produce, because you haven't made the thing unproducible
exactly.
by putting, you know, all this extraneous stuff that nobody can manage to pull off.
Well, that is that leap. You got
to
get
to read, to write lines that an actor could actually memorize and get up on stage and present with some
without
dignity
accessible
and grace.
Iterations.
Right, right.
Well, it's the first opportunity I had to produce my first play, the second play, two plays, which is a totally different experience from writing or acting. Much harder. You have a lot more responsibility. So I think if you do have a play in the festival, that opens you up to a whole new world. And if you're successful at that, I think you'd be successful at anything, because I think producing is one of the hardest jobs.
But we are doing something. We're doing two things at once, which is kind of fascinating, because we are that because so many of us and so many of the forms that we're writing are short forms. So we're writing 10-minute plays, 15-minute plays, maybe occasionally a 20-minute play, but a lot of short form plays. And personally, I think we're actually pioneering short plays as a finished form. It's only been in the last decade or so that the short play has really sort of come into its own.
Where it's considered a finished form.
Yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought, oh, it's just a stepping stone to a full
play. Yeah, it's kind of obscene.
But it is its own beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
Well, that may be true, but you still, there are no people who specialize in short form plays whose names are household words. There is not yet. It isn't. Doesn't
I'm
have. This, it doesn't have the cachet of a sonnet or a haiku. It's just a short play.
But if there's one thing we really all have in common with each other, it has to do with this being really addicted to live experience. To really saying, you know, being in a live experience is so exciting. It's so fun. Mm. You have to, you know, I want to be there. You know, I want to have something
and
live and immediate
different.
And have it be different, that kind of spontaneity. And
that's why we're putting this on a podcast.
That's right.
Make screw-ups and
make
them edit it out later.
Yes, this is reality podcast.
It's live for us.
And this whole spirit of being part of something that is just being created from its very, very beginning, and then being really part of that, seeing it take shape and saying, I was part of that. But just what the energy of what can happen when we're all in a room together, you know, sort of creating that magic with all that creativity, everybody showing up and saying, well, how I'm, you know, we're just connected by this desire to be creative and expressive.
And I think people have forgotten the magic and the energy that comes from watching somebody who, you know, 10 minutes before you've been sipping a cup of coffee with, and all of a sudden they say a few words, and now they're entirely somebody else, and they're creating a different place and a different time and an entirely different character. And they take you into that place for that period of time and take you back out again. You know, so even if it isn't your play that's up there, and one of the most important things that we do, you know, of course, is to attend.
Listen.
Is to be there and pay attention to each other's work, because that's how we tell whether or not it is a play or
attention
it isn't a play.
Attention must be paid.
Yes, exactly.
Playwrights Platform is a Boston area organization catering to local playwrights. Their primary purpose is to assist those playwrights by offering advice, a stage, contacts with theater talent, and anything else they can manage. You've seen the names of some of their alumni on TV shows such as the Law & Order series, though most prefer to stay within the bounds of the theater. This production is the creation and property of David Meyer in association with G.L. Horton and the www.stagepage.info website. It may be redistributed, in whole or in part, only with credit given and with notice sent to davidmeyer@mac.com. Our music is from the Free Play Music Library, license granted through Apple's .Mac program.